Hi, this is Father Bill W. here in Austin, Texas, and welcome to the podcast. I'm an Episcopal priest and in long-term recovery, very much interested in the history of Alcoholics Anonymous, how the program formed, and I hit a point in my own recovery at about 20 years sober when I needed something deeper, and it was then that I started, through the help of an AA archivist, start diving into the Oxford group and early AA, where it came from, what their practices were, that kind of thing, and quickly stumbled onto a process called two-way prayer, began doing that, and it totally changed my life. So that was about 28 years ago, and it's still going strong. I still think I've only begun to scratch the surface of really what we would call in AA or other 12-step fellowships our 11th step, going deeper into the spirituality that I think is inherent in the program and really necessary for transformation and change of sufficient depth to bring about full recovery, real recovery. From addiction and all of its different dimensions. We're doing one more workshop, just FYI, in June. If you haven't attended a two-way prayer workshop, I'd encourage you to do so. You can write me at twowayprayer@gmail.com. I'll send you a flyer for that. And we also have a new website of two-way prayer, and it now has our events listed on it. So you can go to that calendar and you can get the links. And God, we're just getting so modern here. It's really, really amazing. So I hope you can attend that if you haven't done one already. Gonna take a little time off over the summer, do a couple of podcasts after we finish this series. And we've got another month and a half, 2 months to go. So, but I'm going to take a little time off and maybe do some special ones during the summer, then pick up again in September. And then the same is true with the workshops. Want to do a workshop on each one of the 12 steps, kind of giving you some historical background, deeper, richer understanding of where the steps came from, what they meant, and how they were worked in the early days. So with that business out of the way, let's go ahead and get started on this episode. We're doing this series, I'm calling it Pioneer Prayer Practices, and using a book by Dick B. It's called Good Morning, and whenever I'm asked for a book on the 11th step from an historical perspective, what would I recommend? And this is the one that I would refer people to. And as I said in the last episode, Dick's was a really good researcher. He scoured the nation and turned up some marvelous quotes and things relative to early AA, and very, very helpful in my own life. And a good guy. but I guess I'm not such a good guy. Not a Bible thumper, and Dick was, nor am I a big book thumper, as I said in that last episode. I love the big book. Big book saved my life. But I'm just, I'm not interested in quoting it or the Bible. I'm interested in finding out how can we use these books to transform our lives. It doesn't help you much to be able to quote them if you can't really live them. So that's kind of the way I come at things. And I was going to use the several chapters of Dick's book for the outline of this series. And when I got to chapter 2, I found that there's a lot of Bible quoting there. That's pretty much the gist of it. And I don't think that's going to be very helpful to people. I know when I started digging into the history. The Bible was something I'd kind of been brought up with, but I was raised Roman Catholic, and we didn't study it maybe as nearly as intensely as had some others' faiths or denominations, rather. And you know, it was one of the reasons that I kind of left the church. I was hitting things in the Bible that, frankly, I didn't believe. I mean, I felt like I was being asked to take them literally. And in all honesty, I couldn't do that. So I, and that was where I was at when I came into AA back in 1972. It was, I think that I kind of made AA into a semi-religion for myself. I'm like many people out there. I'm going to be spiritual, yeah, but I'm not really religious. And that kind of held me together for 20 years and did pretty good, no question about it. But then at that 20-year mark, I wanted to go deeper. That's when I found the history. And I got to tell you, one of the things that, you know, it was like a bright light for me when I heard, really started studying about the Oxford Group. One of the things that attracted me to it was its initial name, and that was a first century Christian fellowship. And there was something about that name that invited me, opened a door for me. And so I did a study of Oxford Group history. Really dove into that pretty deep. And at the same time, I started a study of first century Christianity. What was going on there before the doctrines and the dogmas and the mechanical side of religion kicked in? What was the experience? What was the experience of first century Christian people who met this guy Jesus, and had a really deep change of heart, were able then to do things and become men and women whom they had not been able to become before. And boy, that was something that I was really hungry for. So along that line, I started to explore some authors, and we're going to talk about books and authors in this episode. Finding the right people who can teach you, you know, the big book says, don't be afraid of asking religious people for some books and some guidance and some direction on this thing. And this really kind of opened the door for me. I ran into the books of a man by the name of Marcus Borg. He was a professor at Oregon State University. Brilliant, brilliant guy. Met the works of John Dominic Crossan, who had been a Catholic monk, an Irish Catholic monk, for 20 years. Had some second thoughts about celibacy and left. But he was a real scholar. He studied at the Pontifical Institute in Rome. And I think just about all scholars would agree that he's one of the premier scholars on the life of Jesus, the history of that first century. So I started reading these guys, and it opened me up to a world that I had missed. Particularly, I had thought that I had to take everything literally that was in Scripture, and I just didn't believe some of those things. And it was such a relief to know that not everything in there was written as a history, but it was written as faith documents of people who had met Jesus. I'm talking about the New Testament in particular. But, you know, it goes for the Old Testament as well, for the Hebrew Bible, that even there, that whole genre of literature is coming at it not so much as historically accurate, you know, like people were walking around with a tape recorder and thus saith the Lord in the, you know, in the Old Testament, and out comes a whole bunch of sayings. But in the collective way, what they really represented were the, in the Hebrew Bible, the emerging faith, the relationship of a whole people with God. And these are the recorded documents of that history, and they're tremendously insightful and important and impactful in terms of our own culture and development and those kinds of things. And then with the New Testament, the Gospels in particular, you're hearing the faith statements of the early Christian community, what it was like to be in relationship in the presence of Jesus, of this teacher. So I was able to approach the reading, some of those readings, in a very, very different way. So in this second chapter of Dick's book, he talks about the Bible, but I know from my experience with many, many people in our 12-step fellowships that that's a scary subject. And Dick doesn't do a very good job, I think, of communicating that. So I just wanted to hit two or three things about reading, because sometimes people get confused when I'm doing a workshop on two-way prayer. I don't always put it into its full context. I'm always pressed for time, so I want to explain what two-way prayer is and how to go about doing it. And we're going to get into that a little bit deeper in this series. But here's an important thing to keep in mind. When you're doing a morning quiet time, two-way prayer is just a part of that. That there are other parts, and a big chunk of those parts include reading. Reading books that are going to open our minds and our hearts to God in a way, in a good way, so that when we get to the two-way prayer part of the morning practice, we're going to be able to hear that voice. So wanted to just share some insights into this in this episode, and try to keep it a little bit light, okay? So prayer and meditation, you know, that's what we talk about in our 11th step. And the meditation piece is an important part. There was a monk in the 12th century, and actually the process really goes back even earlier than that, who developed a very brief system for digging into the scriptures. And like I was trying to say, the scriptures are in a class by themselves. Whether you're a Muslim and you're talking about the Quran, or you're a Hindu and you're talking about the sacred writings in that tradition, or the Christian tradition, or the Jewish tradition, they're in a class by themselves. This is often referred to as the Word of God, as a direct communication from God. It's heavy, holy stuff, and it's not to be approached lightly. So anyway, this monk, his name was Guido, I think it was Guido the Second, and he developed a fourfold practice, and I want to run through it because I think it can be helpful to you. So he said, studying the scriptures involves a fourfold process. The first is lectio, to read. To read the scripture, not to read it quickly, not to read it from an historical, analytical, questioning viewpoint, but to just begin opening your mind to reading it impactfully, expectantly, all right? And briefly, I would add, not sitting down and reading scripture for a long three or four chapters, but just allowing it to sink in. And so that's lectio. And then meditatio, which was to meditate on it. And meditate, if you take the dictionary definition, it means to focus one's thoughts on something, to ponder it. We have deferred to the East in meditation, you know, and it's like to empty your mind to this. That's the Buddhist practice, and it can be very helpful, and I employ that at times. But that's not the meaning of Christian meditation. Christian meditation meant to think deeply on something, to stew in it, to simmer in it, to read something, and then to meditate on it. Allow it to speak to you, in effect. And then that brings you to the third stage of the process, which he said was oratio, or prayer. So you read, you meditate, and then you begin to speak to God. You begin to enter into that situation, that frame of mind that readies you for the next stage, which is contemplatio, or to contemplate. So there's a difference between meditation and contemplation. In meditation, we're doing the work, all right? But then what happens is it leads to prayer. And then the prayer leads to union. And, you know, I think that's exactly what happens in our two-way prayers. Very similar. You know, we structure it, or I recommend structuring it in a certain way, that we ask a question and we, I encourage people to have God, you know, speak their name to them, and use a term of endearment when God is speaking to you, my beloved child, my sweetheart, my darling little girl. You start it off, but then your mind shifts, and you get to a deeper part of your mind where it's, and I think this is really what happens, where God then is in a position to take over. All right, it's like my ego has cooperated up to this end of things, and now I've set the stage for God to make an appearance, in effect, in my mind. And then that's what the prayer practice is about, and that's what quiet time is about, to have a period of time wherein I can spend time with God in the morning. So what are some books to get you started on that? I would refer you to learning a little bit about the origins of Scripture, about how it was written. Again, I would refer you to Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan. Read some of their works. You can find a lot of their work on YouTube. Many, many lectures there. Encourage you to download them and study them if you're open to exploring this area of God's word, you know. It was a similar problem that people had back in the Oxford group days and in the early AA days, that they weren't very familiar with the Bible. They weren't familiar with prayer practices, you know, kind of superficial, not terribly deep. And so they had certain scriptures that they went to. Some people just, I hear them say, well, I'm going to open the Bible and just see what comes up. Well, I don't find that terribly effective. Maybe it is sometimes, but boy, you can hit some strange things there too. I started with the books that they recommended in the Oxford group and in early AA. Dr. Bob said there were certain scriptures that they used and that were really effective with them. And what were those? They were the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is a real ego buster. You know, it's Matthew. What Matthew is doing in that is he's comparing Jesus to Moses. And just like Moses went up on the mountain and brought down the law to the people, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, so he has Jesus go up a mountain, and there he preaches a different kind of law. The law says this, but I say that. And it's taking the old law and going so much deeper with it and really challenging the ego. So I say you can't read that 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew without having your ego kick and scream and holler, because it's really gonna challenge it. And God knows we addicts need challenging in that area. The second one that they recommended, Dr. Bob recommended, was reading 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, where he just talks about love. And God, if there's anything that's gonna counter addiction in ourselves, that's what it is. It's going to be love. If we don't find a way to give love and receive love, and that includes a self-love, if we don't find our way to that, either we're going to go back to the addiction of our choice, or we're going to develop another one that's going to take us for quite a ride, and really keep us from finding a full recovery. And the last one that Bob recommended was the letter of James. And as I've said before on these podcasts, AA was almost called the James Club because so many of the principles that became AA came from that letter. So in Dr. Bob's last major address to the fellowship, he was talking about how he may not have had the steps, but he had the underlying dynamics from his study of the good book. You know, so many times alcoholics and addicts, when they do get over our resentments towards the church or religion or that sort of thing and do start digging in, they say, well, this is pretty much like AA. Well, yes, it is. our spiritual paths are not that different. So much of AA draws itself from the principles, the dynamics, the change that is pointed to in some of the scriptural passages. So what is it that I'm going to encourage people to do? Well, main thing is this, that as part of your quiet time practice in the morning, that you have a period of 10, 15 minutes perhaps of reading books. Books, what kind of books? Scripture, if you can handle that. But maybe before that, what I usually do is a book that's educating me, a spiritual book from an author who speaks to me. And I can't tell you who that's going to be for you, but you will know. You know who those people are. you know, who, when you read their books, they're speaking to your soul, and you're resonating with them. Richard Rohr is one of those for many people in 12-step recovery. His books are kind of a door opener to a different understanding, to a different view of faith that is different from the one they were raised with and rejected. So I encourage you to find those people. Then I encourage you, you know, read a little bit of that, and then find either scripture or some sacred book of that. One of the ones that I stumbled on was a book of Psalms by Stephen Mitchell. And he's a variation of what the Psalms are about. This is Book of Psalms. Let me read one to you. I think you might find it appealing. I love his work. This is a part of Psalm 130. Out of the depths, Lord, I call you. Let me feel you even in this darkness. Take away my affliction, or give me the strength to endure. If all our mistakes were indelible, which of us could survive? But you have forgiven us, even when we cannot forgive ourselves. So to take a little chunk of scripture like that, and then to meditate on it. So you've read it, you meditate on it, you pray about it. What line jumped out at you? You know, even when we cannot forgive ourselves is the one that really jumped out at me. Because I have difficulty doing that. And that's how my pride operates. So then to just sit with that for a minute, let it sink in. Feel God's presence within those words. And then move to your two-way prayer. Think, it doesn't mean your two-way prayer has to be a commentary on that. I recommend you still look at your life, you see where you really need help. If it is in forgiveness, then go for it. If it's in removing some anger, go for it. But it's asking God at that point to speak to you, to speak the words of healing that you really need to hear. Modern translations are good. That's what they did in the old days. They got a modern translation of the Bible. One very modern one is The Message by Eugene Peterson. If you're brand new to Scripture and you have a real aversion to it, Peterson puts the Message, and that's the name of his book, The Message, into almost like street language that cuts through, and that's what it was. I mean, Jesus was using terms for God like daddy, words that shocked people. I think Thomas Merton said, you know, if the scripture doesn't shock us, if it doesn't shock the ego, probably haven't really, it hasn't registered with us. So needs to be a shock. So those were the kind of the key points that I wanted to share with you in this episode. Don't just be doing the two-way prayer. Incorporate it with a period of reading. Read the authors that God guides you to, who speak to your soul. Dabble a little bit in some of the scriptures as you're able to, and then be about your two-way prayer. So hope some of this was helpful. We'll kind of get back into Dick's next chapters, because he gets some better historical stuff there. So thank you so much for listening. God bless, and hope you'll keep coming back.